As you look around here this morning, it's possible that in your mind you may be thinking this. I know that there are a lot of other people who could be here this morning. But they're not here. It's not raining outside, it's beautiful weather. So I don't understand, why aren't they here? I can tell you why they aren't here. What's happening here in this conference is the exact same thing that happens in our church at home. And at Pastor Bronx Church. The deeper you go into truth, the harder Satan fights to keep Christians away from it. And there are some people who have very valid reasons for not being here. But there are some who could be here and they just aren't. Remember, Jesus said this. When the word is sown into a person's life, when the word of God is sown into a person's life, Satan fights very hard to steal it. And he will influence people with all kinds of reasons. Most of those reasons do not involve sin. They are things that make a lot of sense to the individual. But they are just distractions to try and keep them away from the Word. I understand this and it does not discourage me. But what it does is sadden me. It saddens me because so many Christians say, I am hungry for God. But when some of them have the opportunity to feed that hunger, they will use many reasons to stay away. But this means those of us who are pressing deeper into God, we have a responsibility to continue to pray. And many of our prayers will be in the form of intercession on their behalf. We have learned this week that God wants us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We have to stay in the Word of God. And it's important that we pray in tongues. This enables the Holy Spirit to move mightily inside us. In the church at Corinth, there was much division. There was a lot of strife and there were contentions.
Mm-hmm.
And this was all centered around different doctrines. And part of the reason Paul wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians was to bring correction to the confusion. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation in that church. And the people thought because the gifts were operating, that they were very spiritually mature in God. But Paul said, you are carnal and you're spiritual babes. This means that the operation of the gifts of the Spirit is not a sign of great spiritual maturity. But even today, many churches believe that if the gifts are in operation in their church, that their people are very spiritually mature. But if Paul was going to correct the Corinthians nearly 2,000 years ago, he would bring the exact same correction to churches today. Paul told them that the manifestation of the gifts was not God's stamp of approval on the individual. We saw this last night in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians 12:31, he said this: but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That's 1 Corinthians
12:31.
So even though Paul was bringing correction to that church, he was still encouraging them. He was saying, yes, it is a good thing to look for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. And it's not wrong to hope for the gifts to operate through you. And he said, but I'm going to show you a better way to walk in the power of God. And he explains this in chapter 13. In essence, here's what he was telling the people. Even if the gifts of the Spirit are operating in my life, if the supernatural, divine love of God is not operating through my life, then I am not as spiritually mature as I thought. In this, he is telling us, instead of seeking after just the gifts, we should be seeking after God's love first. Because the further we go into God's love, the more God is going to be able to release His power through us. Because the more that we are flowing in the supernatural love of God, we will not seek self-exaltation. We will not pride ourselves that the gifts are operating through us. Our spiritual maturity qualifies us for God to release more and more of His power through us. This enables us to begin moving in the same way Jesus moved. Jesus said that if we believed in Him, the works He did, we would do also. Believing in Him is not just getting born again. Believing in Him means believing everything He said. Jesus spoke much about the love of God. Jesus spoke much about doing the works of God. Jesus was totally committed to the will of the Father. Jesus did not operate in the gifts. Someone would say, now wait a minute, Brother Martin. I have read the New Testament and I see the gifts operating through Jesus. No, Jesus did not operate the gifts, and here's how we know that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul explained this to us. He said the gifts of the Spirit will operate only when the Holy Spirit desires that they operate. This means I cannot force the gifts to operate. If someone comes to me and says, Pastor Jim, I just don't know what to do. I cannot look at them and say this. I will now operate in the gift of the word of wisdom. And I will tell you what you should do. Because the word of wisdom is a gift of the Spirit. And it will only operate when the Holy Spirit decides it should operate. If someone comes to me and says, Pastor Jim, I'm feeling sick in my body. I cannot look at them and say this. I will now operate in the gift of healing. Because the gift of healing described in 1 Corinthians 12 is a gift of the Spirit. And I do not control it. Only the Holy Spirit controls that. However, Jesus said this, that if we believe in Him, we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This almost sounds like a contradiction. But it is not a contradiction. I'll explain it to you. Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Jesus did not operate in the gifts. He operated by the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And the love of God. This is why a blind man could come to him and say, help me. And Jesus could look at him and ask, what do you want? The man could have said anything. He could have said, I want a horse. I want money. I want new clothes. I want a house to live in. But he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, okay, receive your sight. Every time people came to him for a healing, they received that healing. That's because Jesus was living at a level of spiritual maturity and a level of God's love to where the power and anointing of God could flow through him. And it flowed through him unhindered by the flesh. When Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also. He was saying, if you believe in me, you will continue in my word. And if you continue in my word, you will continue in the things my word tells you to do. This means eventually, if I continue doing what he says, I am going to mature spiritually from glory to glory to glory. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, that the result of this maturity is that I will conform to the image of the glory of Christ. When I mature spiritually to that level, then I will be able to look at a blind man and ask him, what do you want? And if he says, well, I would like my healing, then I'm going to be able to minister healing to him. Because that's the way a Christian is supposed to live. I won't pray for him and hope that the gifts operate. I will lay hands on him and know it's going to happen. Because I am following Christ. And I have spent time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I have continued in the Word of God. I have built myself up on my most holy faith. I have kept myself in the love of God. And the Holy Spirit has been able to shed the love of God abroad in my heart. And just like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I will now be able to say this. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Many Christians think this is blasphemy. But it's not blasphemy. This is what God wants us to be in this world. But the body of Christ has never understood this. So we wait and hope for the gifts to operate. And the whole time, God is up in heaven saying this. I am ready to release my power as a flow of living water through your life. But I need you to do what is necessary to mature spiritually. God will not honor our works of the flesh. He will only honor the work of the Spirit. Our potential in this life is to be able to live and walk and minister the way Jesus did. This is when the world sees a true difference between us and them. The Jews were amazed that God would give so much power to a man. The people in the world today will be amazed that God has given so much power to a man or to a woman. And when they see us operating the way Jesus operated, only the coldest of hearts will not want to know Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says this, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So what's happened is the church in Corinth has had a lot of division, a lot of problems. They have not been seeking to conform to the love of God. They've been priding themselves on a manifestation of the gifts. And And Paul is telling them, you need to redirect your focus. And chapter 14 is where he is telling them how to redirect their focus. And he's saying, follow after charity or the love of God in action. And along with that, it is okay to desire to see the spiritual gifts in operation. However, as you are pressing deeper into the love of God, it is better that you prophesy instead of operate in the gifts. This word prophesy does not mean to foretell the future. This word prophesy means this. To declare the heart, mind, thoughts, and truth of Almighty God. Remember earlier this week we learned that God esteems truth above power. And here we're seeing that in this verse. Now he begins explaining how it's possible to prophesy. Or how it's able to continually declare the truth of God that comes straight from his heart and mind. In verse 2 he says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Maana yeye anenaye kwa lugha hasemi na watu, bali husema na Mungu, maana hakuna asikiaye, lakini anena mambo ya siri katika roho yake.
We know from this verse that praying in tongues this way is not speaking in tongues for an interpretation. The reason we know that is this. If it were tongues for interpretation, then the Holy Spirit would give someone in the congregation the understanding. And the person in that congregation would then be understanding what is being said in tongues. But here he says, when you are speaking in tongues or praying in tongues, no man is going to understand you. This is because when I am praying in tongues, I am in supernatural divine communication directly with God. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes and He's dwelling in us, He will not speak of Himself, He will only speak what He hears. So here's what's happening when we pray in tongues.
tukinena kwa lugha.
The Holy Spirit is in me and he's listening to God.
Roho Mtakatifu yumo ndani yangu, Bwana asifiwe.
Now I know
that alivyo ndani yangu anasikiliza kwa Mungu.
Now I know the Holy Spirit is God.
Na Roho Mtakatifu ni Mungu.
But I'm just painting this image for our understanding.
Hiyo naelewa, lakini nakuletea kwa mfano huu hapa jinsi hii ili kwamba tuelewe. Kama unanisikia sema amina.
So the Holy Spirit is in us listening to God.
Kwa sababu hiyo Roho Mtakatifu yuko ndani yetu na akiwa ndani yetu yumo ili asikilize kutoka kwa nani? Kwa Mungu.
I make a decision that I'm going to start praying in tongues. So I begin praying in tongues. But the Holy Spirit is supplying the words of the language of my prayer. So the Holy Spirit is hearing from God what I need to pray when I'm praying in tongues.
Roho Mtakatifu anasikiliza mahitaji yangu ninayohitaji wakati ambapo ninaomba katika lugha.
And Romans chapter 8 tells us this.
Warumi sura ya 8 inatuambia hivi.
That this prayer is according to the will of God.
Maombi haya ya kunena kwa lugha katika roho yanaenda katika mapenzi na kusudi la Mungu.
So I'm praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit is supplying the words of that prayer. It's in a language that I don't understand. But because God is telling the Holy Spirit what I need to pray, that means God is telling the Holy Spirit this. This is what they need to pray. And this is the prayer I am prepared to answer in their lives. And as they are praying in tongues, they will be praying out my perfect will. And because it's the prayer I know they need to pray, as they begin to pray that prayer unto me, I will hear from heaven. And I will then answer that prayer. Because it is according to my perfect will. This way, when I'm praying in tongues, it is impossible for me to pray amiss. It is impossible for me to pray something to consume the answer upon my own lusts. I will not be praying simply to get something. I will be praying the perfect will of Almighty God. And Romans chapter 8 tells us this. That there are so many times where we just don't know what to pray. And how many of us have been like that? Right now, every person in this room does not know what they're going to need 6 months from now. I don't know what my ministry will need 6 months from now. But God knows what my ministry will need for the rest of my life. I don't know what to pray. But He knows. So as I'm praying in tongues, part of that prayer will be God's perfect will for my life.
Amen.
It will be part of that prayer will be God's perfect will for my ministry. And as I keep praying in tongues, God is answering that prayer. And He is setting things in order for the rest of my life. So that from now until 6 months from now, everything I need is going to be waiting for me on the path of my life. Because God has been answering that prayer and setting everything in order for me. I can't do that through praying with my understanding. But at the same time as I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is teaching me all things. He is guiding me into all truth. This is part of what it means at the end of verse 1. Howbeit in the Spirit He speaketh mysteries. These mysteries aren't just the things about my life in ministry. But these mysteries are the deep truths of the Word of God. Early in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. You can't be a steward of something you don't know. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he told the people this. The things that we're teaching you used to be mysteries. But God has ordained that we would know these things. And as we stand up and teach these things to you, we are able to teach them to you in your language because we were taught them using the language of God. As we were praying in tongues, God was giving us the revelation of His truth. He was giving us the understanding of the deep things of God. The things that used to be the hidden mysteries. But through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we were praying in tongues, He gave us the understanding of these mysteries. And now we are able to teach them unto you. There are many Christians today who believe they cannot understand the things of God. That they cannot understand the Bible. And they become totally dependent upon the mind of man. They think if I don't go to seminary or Bible college, I will not be qualified to preach. But I have news for you. Jesus did not go to seminary. He did not go to Bible college. The Bible says the religious leaders were amazed. Because Jesus was a man without letters. In today's language, we'd say it like this. How can Jesus be so smart? How can he know all these things? He didn't go to seminary. He doesn't have a degree from a Bible college. He's not ordained by our organization. He's not qualified to do anything. But Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach this gospel." It is not wrong to have pastors. It's not wrong to have apostles and prophets. It's not wrong to have teachers. But all of these ministry gifts had better be teaching you how to pray in tongues. Had better be teaching you how to hear from God. Had better be teaching you how to understand the Word of God. Think of it like this. When the apostles Peter and John stood before the religious leaders, those leaders said this. These men are unlearned and uneducated. But they have been with Jesus. I want my reputation to be this. That man has been with Jesus. I have a Bible college degree. I have a doctorate. But that's not on the sign of my church. That's not on my cards that I pass out to people. The word doctor is not in front of my name. It's not because I'm ashamed of those things. But I don't want people judging me because of that. I want you judging me by the standard of God's Word. And the more that I pray in tongues, is the more that the mysteries of passages of Scripture that I have never understood before now come to life to me. I begin to understand them like never before. There are people who have come to me over the years. And they don't understand how I can teach the way I teach. They don't understand how I can break down Scripture line upon line and precept upon precept. Have asked me, what commentaries do you use? And they are amazed when I tell them I don't use commentaries. Now I will look up the definition of words in the Greek and Hebrew. But the Holy Spirit is my commentary. And I'm here to tell you today, if it had not been for praying in tongues, I would not be able to teach the way I teach. And I continue to pray in tongues. Because I know what it will do for me. Before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, God loved me then just as much as He loves me now. There's no difference whatsoever. However, I made a decision that I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive the miracle gift of praying in tongues, because the Word makes it very clear what that kind of prayer will do for me. And this is why I pray in tongues. Because I get the benefits God has promised in His Word. Now continuing in chapter 14. Reading verse 2 again. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort.
Maana hakuna asikiaye, lakini anena mambo ya siri katika roho yake. Bali yeye ahutubuye, asema na watu maneno ya kuwajenga, na kuwafariji, na kuwatia moyo.
Now remember in verse 14, he said, rather that ye prophesy. Then in verse 2, he says that when I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying out the mysteries of God. Then he says in verse 3, that when I prophesy, I'm speaking a type of edification to you. The reason this is edifying you is this. Because as I am prophesying to you, I am delivering to you the heart and mind of Jesus Christ. No new scripture is being created. But the scripture we have is being explained and taught. This morning, what I am doing in this service is prophesying. We typically don't look at it like that. We call this preaching and teaching. But as I have spent time with God, He is ministering to me what I am supposed to say to you. So I am prophesying or speaking forth the truth of God's Word He wants delivered in this session. Now look at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. In other words, as I am praying in tongues, my spirit is being edified. In Jude it says, I am being built up on my most holy faith.
inajengwa katika imani.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. As I am praying in tongues, the word of God is being prayed through me. My spiritual man is hearing this. But my natural mind that thinks in English does not understand this. This is what Paul said in verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. This means my spirit is receiving this truth and being built up on it. But my natural English thinking mind does not understand the words I'm praying in the language of tongues. So in verse 4, as I am praying in tongues, I am edifying myself spiritually. I am edifying myself deeper into the truth and the will and the mysteries of God. Then that revelation begins to work its way into my natural mind. And that anointing that is released through praying in tongues begins impacting the way I think. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. This means now that I'm born again, I have the ability to think the way that Jesus thinks. The more that I'm praying in tongues, I am edifying myself spiritually to think more like Jesus in my understanding of Scripture. Then when I stand up before you, I prophesy out of that understanding. This means I am able to speak forth unto you the revelation and the understanding of God's Word that the Holy Spirit has given unto me as a result of praying in tongues. Now look down in verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And Paul is saying, yes, I understand that you really want the spiritual gifts to manifest in your services. And he says, that is not a wrong thing to desire. He says, however, you need to pursue a higher goal. Instead of seeking the Holy Spirit for the manifestation of the gifts, pursue that relationship with Him for this reason. That you may excel spiritually or be built up and edified spiritually in yourself so that you can turn around and deliver the mysteries revealed to the church. Now I want you to think about this. I have spent many, many, many hours praying in tongues. I now understand these passages like never before. And it's not simply because a man taught them to me, but praying in tongues enabled the Holy Spirit to get the truths of these things rooted deeply in my spirit. So now I understand these things. And I, in turn, am now edifying you. By explaining the truths of these passages. You now have been edified with knowledge. This knowledge must now become a lifestyle practice. This means you take the knowledge you have now received about these passages. And when you do this, the Holy Spirit is going to be able to sink deep roots of this truth in your life. This releases an anointing in you to help guard and protect you against the deceivers we've been talking about all week.
Hallelujah.
Because when the roots of this truth are deep in your spirit, the seeds of deception will not be able to sink root. Man cannot do this for me. Only the Holy Spirit. And notice in verse 15, Paul says this. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. This is incredible. Paul is saying, here's what I will do. Now that I understand these things, I will pray with the understanding, and I will sing with the understanding, but I will also pray in tongues. And he said, but I will also sing with the Spirit.
kuimba, nitaimba kwa lugha.
Blando get a boshon romolonke, karabriande, garaboshon romoloko, sho malalande, the galiande, bratiko shon romolokianda. Do you understand that when we sing in tongues, we are offering up the perfect worship for that moment?
Praise God.
So it is not wrong
to
sing and to praise God the way you do in all of your services. Because Paul said, I will sing with the understanding. But he said, I will also sing in tongues. And God said he inhabits our praises. I'm not going to be teaching on worship this week. But I will say this. Worship impacts our spirit in a way nothing else can. Worship can usher in the presence of God the way nothing else can. And when I am singing in tongues, whatever is coming out of my mouth is the perfect form of worship that I need to be releasing at that moment. So it is correct before God to sing with our natural languages. But if the Apostle Paul said he would sing in tongues, then bless God, I think I should too. Now look what else Paul has said, and we'll be closing with this. In verse 18, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. In other words, he was saying, I pray in tongues more than all of you people combined. What he's saying is this. If you people had been praying in tongues as a lifestyle, you wouldn't still be carnal. You wouldn't still be babes in Christ. You wouldn't have all these divisions and strife in your midst. So Paul is telling them, this is how you begin eliminating the divisions in the church. And he says in verse 19, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. In other words, he's telling us this. If I stand up and all I do is ramble in tongues, it doesn't do you any good. Unless I will stand up and deliver to you the revelation that has come to me through praying in tongues, You do not benefit from all my prayer. He said the same thing back in verse 6. And in verse 20 he says this. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men.
Mstari wa 20 nasema, ndugu zangu msiwe watoto katika akili zenu, lakini katika uovu mgeuzwe watoto wachanga, bali katika akili zenu mkawe watu wazima.
In other words, he's telling them this.
Kwa maana nyingine anawaambia hivi.
Don't be like a bunch of immature little children when it comes to this teaching.
Msiwe watoto katika swala hili ninalowafundisha.
Receive it, accept it, understand it, and do it. However, in malice, be children. One of the things about children is this. They're very quick to forgive each other. They can be fighting 1 minute. And 5 minutes later be playing again like best friends. Adults don't understand this. What was the problem in the Corinthian church? There was a lot of malice. And he's saying, you people need to get over it. And you need to be like children. Forgive it and get back in unity with each other. But when it comes to understanding these things I'm teaching you, act like mature adults. Accept this, understand it, apply it to your life, and grow up spiritually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can tell you as a witness from my heart, if it were not for praying in tongues, I would not be where I am today. I would not be here teaching. Pastor Bronk is a man of God. He spends many multiplied hours praying in tongues. If it were not for praying in tongues, he would not be where he is with God. He would not be here. And not only that, he and I would not even know each other. We would not even be friends. Because as we have prayed in tongues over the years, God went ahead of us into our future. And he began setting things in order so that the day would come in March of 1997 that he and I would meet each other. And now we have a bond of friendship that the devil cannot break. We walk in fellowship and unity. He is iron sharpening my iron. And we are two who walk together because we are agreed. And that agreement has come because of what God has done in us. Had we not spent years praying in tongues, it would not be like this. Think of all the friends God has waiting to bring into your life.
fikiria marafiki wote ambao kwa maombi yako ya lugha Mungu atakuwa ameweka kwenye mpangilio kukutana na maisha yako.
And praying in tongues opens the door for God to bring these things together.
Kunena kwa lugha inafungua mlango ya Mungu kuleta watu na kukusanyisha mambo haya ambayo yamenenwa kwa lugha kutimia.
All those years of praying in tongues,
miaka mingi ambapo nimekusanya kwa kuomba kwa lugha,
God was setting things in order.
Nimeomba kwa lugha sio tu kwa kupotea.
For me to meet you. Praise God. And I am the richer for it. Look at all these new friends I have. And we will be friends as we march together into eternity with Jesus. Please stand. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and stand. If you're here today and you are born again, you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've not yet experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit, having received that miracle gift of praying in tongues, and you want to receive that gift, if you come up here, I will pray for you. Is there anyone at all?
Come on.